The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
And that's it. That's the whole show. Thanks for joining us.
We're in, we're out. Easy peasy. No, in for real news, guys, we have an interesting episode for you coming up today, because we are on our short week before the Thanksgiving holiday. We're yes. here at SCB. We're only in office Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And unfortunately, coming out of the weekend, Ben came down with a little bit of an illness, which I can hear it in my voice right now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice right now.
Yeah,
a little bit. Okay. And so as a result, I was out of office on one of our precious three that we had available.
Yeah, no.
And then in addition to that, Jay had some illness in his family as well. So we were unable to record our standard full episode of The Pop. But what we have for you instead is three episodes that we handpicked that we thought were going to be a hootin' and hollering good time, episodes of After the Final Pop, that we're now going to play for you, so you can get kind of a feel for what those shows are sort of like.
Yeah, so typically you only get access to After the Final Pop if you are a patron. We record one of these every single week after we record the main episode. It's just a little extra, you know, 10 to 20 extra minutes of popcorn culture for you if you're in on the Patreon. So yeah, we went through, we picked some of our favorite little extra conversations. We lined them up here for you. If you want to listen to the entire back catalog, of which there are like so many.
Point. I mean, it goes back like for a while. And even with a single month subscription, you get access to the whole back catalog for the month.
It's not like you'll only get access to the new ones going forward. If you sign up, you get access to every single thing going backwards. So hopefully you enjoy these three little After the Final Pops. Hope you had an amazing Thanksgiving. And God, I hope my boys feel better. They both came down with, or Nick and Nate at least, both came down with COVID, which was just a great Monday morning surprise.
Oh, not what you want to see at all.
No.
Not what you want to see. Yeah. Highly disfortunate, as Bast would probably say. So that's just too bad. But if it makes you feel any better, I feel like I recovered from yesterday, where I felt like glued to the couch, do a lot better today. So
that's good.
Hopefully fast recoveries are just ripe in the air.
But I sure hope so.
Anyway, guys, without any further ado, enjoy After the Final Pop. Hello and welcome, everybody, to After the Final Pop, where, as always, we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Thank you so much for your continued support here on the Patreon. Maybe you're new. Maybe you've just joined After the Final Pop. In which case, welcome. We've got like 150 more episodes you can listen to.
There's plenty to go around.
Plenty.
Enjoy. Oh, goodness gracious. So last night I told Alice, I was like, I need something to talk about on the pop this week. And she was like, can I pick a topic? And I was like, absolutely. Whatever you want me to talk about, I will talk about on the pop or the after show.
Or the after show, depending on the quality of your suggestion.
And she said, bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
And I was like, wow. Okay. So bubblegum, I think, is kind of interesting because it feels distinctly different from chewing gum.
There does seem like there must be something a little bit different about it. You'd think you'd want bubblegum to have a little bit more like stretchability and like staying power for the sake of blowing bubbles. And typically I think bubblegum comes like there's a larger amount of gum you know, it's bigger than like a stick of gum.
Yeah, it's like a
because you need the surface area to create the bubbles.
It's like a blob, of gum.
Yeah,
but gum is weird in general because I feel like I've gone through stages where at all points in time I would have gum on my person.
Yeah,
like always,
always because you were chewing it so much.
Yeah, because I mean, like, just at any point in time, I would just like, you know, I would probably go through, you know, 3-4 slices of like Orbit gum per day.
Sure.
Usually my preferred gum style is like the soft gum, like not crunchy shell gum.
Not like, yeah, that comes in like a big plastic cup that you put in your cup holder.
Oh, the plastic cup and the cup holder.
Yeah.
It seems like the plastic cup and the cup holder style of gum coincides very aggressively with the little clip-on air fresheners that go on like your air vents as well.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And also a generally tidy car.
Oh, you think so?
I tend to think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the cup holder gum is like almost like a staple that's like always full, always has gum. Yeah.
That's because it's a whole giant cup full of gum.
It's a cup full of gum.
But look, when you've got the cup holder size gum, you need to just admit to yourself, like, you've got a problem.
You've got a gum problem.
You're chewing too much gum. It's too much.
I know. But so anyway, I was also thinking about like all of the various gums from childhood. And I was like, I think I literally searched that exact thing. I was like, gums.
Like bubble yum or double bubble.
Yeah, gum from
Zebra Strap.
The 90s. Oh my gosh. There were so many. So
bubble tape.
Immediately the difference between double bubble and bubble yum was something I needed to like discern between. Because bubble yum is the one that comes in like the long rectangular package.
Yeah.
Kind of beautiful packaging.
Really good. It's like a nice square. It kind of looked like it had like a fun innard to it.
An innard.
You know, recollection, bubble yum was way better than double bubble.
Ooh, shots fired.
Uh-oh.
Which one had cotton candy flavor? Because that was my favorite.
I'm pretty sure double bubble came in one flavor and it was pink. far as I recall.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Was the ones that came in like the little yellow package with the red stamp and the blue.
Yes,
ends.
Okay, so double bubble, absolute garbage.
Total like, garbage. Bubble's like it's like last place trading candy for Halloween.
Double bubble, I believe, this is my genuine tinfoil hat theory, is that there was somebody accidentally sent in an order request to the gum factory in the year 1974, where it was supposed to be 600 units and it was accidentally produced in the volume of 600 million. And ever since then, we've been trying to disperse them to the human population with minimal success because whenever they are thrown away, they're actually like magically gravitated back to the original factory. Mm. And they just keep being redistributed again.
I just don't think anyone's ever had a fresh piece of double bubble. You know, all double bubble is like 3 months stale.
It was stale to begin with.
It was stale to begin with. And that's remarkable for an object whose whole appeal is its staying power.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's just like it like breaks your teeth a little bit. And then I also, I don't know. It just like, It doesn't even have like the good gummy texture. It's almost more like glue.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You don't have to tell me how bad double bubble is. Anyway, tell me more about bubble yum.
Oh, I see. I see the distinction. I was getting confused because there is bubble yum and Hubba Bubba.
Oh, Hubba Bubba.
You remember Hubba Bubba?
I mean, I'm familiar with the phrase. I would have thought, I mean, this could be totally wrong too, but I think childhood me gravitated towards the bubble yum.
Okay, I would agree.
Let me see a packaging of some Hubba Bubba.
Okay, hang on one second. I'm going to hand this over to you. So the Hubba Bubba next to a Bubble Yum there. The Bubble Yum did come in cotton candy, which was always one of my childhood favorites.
Okay, Bubble Yum, Hubba Bubba.
But like, I think...
I see, right. To me, this I don't know. What comes to mind when I hear Hubba Bubba is that it sounds, and this is going to sound so stupid, like a racier title for a gum than our mom would have been comfortable with.
I feel like
it sounds like you're like catcalling someone like Hubba Bubba.
Oh, uncomfortable. You know what I
mean? Exactly.
I dislike it entirely.
Exactly, Ben.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
I agree.
So it has that against it.
It does have that against it. I think it has a flavored innard though, so there's always that.
That's the worst way to describe.
Hubba Bubba also had a separate claim to fame, which is of course bubble tape.
Oh, was Hubba Bubba behind Bubble Tape?
They were.
You know why it was better?
Why? Because
it wasn't called Hubba Bubba. It was just called Bubble Tape. And
Bubble
it came
tape.
And that no, no, I okay. as much as I don't like the name Hubba Bubba, Bubble Tape was awesome because it just went on forever.
It did go on forever. My only thing about it was that I liked the experience. It's almost like the thing with like a Pez dispenser. It's like this is so clever. I want to take one just so I can do it again.
Yes.
And it's Pez, for what it's worth, I also think Pez tastes amazing.
They do.
Like, it's like a really great candy. Mm. But the thing with Bubble Tape, I always remember as a kid, it was like you would go to the checkout counter, and I specifically remember that there was a period of time right around like my formative years where mom would have used this as like the reward for being good at the grocery store was you got to pick a piece of candy at the checkout, but it had to be 44 cents candy. So like a Kit Kat, like a York Peppermint Patty, like the double Reese cups, like nothing king size. Just the regular was 44 cents at checkout at the checkout counter. So that was always like the rule. You could get something 44 cents or less. And typically specialty gums such as Bubble Tape were like $1.29. And so that was like, that blew the budget entirely.
Unbelievable.
It was like,
do you remember the buy one, get one, like bags of candy at the Shell station?
I do.
Yes,
yeah. Peach
those
rings
were the best. Those were the best. I would get the gummy worms. You would always get the Boston baked beans.
Yeah.
And I would always get the sour gummy worms.
Sour gummy worms. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead. Bubble Tape.
Oh, so the thing about Bubble Tape, was that like, I would get it, and then I would really just want the interaction with doing it. So like throughout the course of my Sunday, where I had my sacred Bubble Tape, I'd probably end up chewing the whole wheel. All 6 feet.
Yeah.
You know,
6 feet.
I think it was 6 feet.
Oh my gosh. If I recall Bubble Tape, it had like a nice, it was like a big soft strip of gum. It was like almost velvety. It had like a really good chewable texture to it.
Powder coating.
It did have the powder coating. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Delicious.
Yeah.
So there was that. There was that. Then, of course, you've also got like the Wrigley's lineup.
Wrigley's line. Look.
Can you name them? Can you name all?
Oh, Juicy Fruit, Double Mint, Spearmint, Big Red.
Okay.
There's a fifth one. Winterfresh.
Yes.
Got it.
I thought
Nailed
for sure
it.
You'd miss Winterfresh.
No, I got Winterfresh, dude.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah, very well done. I remember going through like stages. This almost felt like a process of like growing up in the household. It was like you started with Juicy Fruit because it's like, you know, like who doesn't like Juicy Fruit?
You know, it's Juicy Fruit. You know, I remember the Juicy Fruit commercials involved people doing tricks on mountain bikes.
How about that?
Yeah. It was like,
oh,
whoa.
Yeah. And it's like Papa Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
That's probably not what the phrase was, but
Papa Juicy Fruit.
But I remember I eventually like went through a Double Mint phase and then finally got to Big Red.
No, yeah. Big Red's another novelty one. It's like, this is spicy. This is like wild. This is,
it's got some heat to it.
Yeah.
There's also the wrappers themselves. At some point in time, you may or may not have learned that you could peel the foil off.
Yeah.
And then the foil becomes like a sticker. And I think I had a calculator in middle school that I completely covered in.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. The foil. Yeah. Yeah. Wrigley's is definitely not about the bubble, though. It's definitely just like we are here to be chewing gum.
Chewing gum for 25 cents. Gum.
25 cents, you get 5 sticks of gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was trying to decide if I felt like that was a good deal or not a good deal.
Look, it's a nickel for a stick of gum. It's pretty solid.
But like, you know, you get like an Orbit pack and like, you know, like 25 cents feels like such a steal. But then you buy like a pack of Orbit for like $1.50 or something. I could be completely wrong, but it seems like it had like 16 sticks. And it's like,
not sticks, Ben, like weird medicine pack blister capsules.
Oh, wait, no. Am I thinking of the wrong thing? What did I say? What brand did I just say? Orbit?
Orbit. Maybe.
I think Orbit was like little paper covered chewables. I think you're thinking Eclipse.
What?
Eclipse?
I'm thinking of Eclipse. I bet they both make them. I remember, though, speaking of Wrigley's, when I was a kid, for a while, I was like really into the spearmint gum.
Yeah.
As like, it was like one of these things. It's like, you get into your mind, like, this would be like a thing people know about me. Like, I really like spearmint gum.
It's a character.
It's like a character. Exactly. You know, this is the kind of dumb distinction I was looking for between my peers as a 7-year-old.
Yes, yes.
But I remember like working it out and just figuring like, that I didn't actually chew it that much, but it appealed to me that like it was only 25 cents, so like there was no, you could always always get mom or dad to get you a pack of gum because it's 25 cents. Like, they're never going to say no. So what I really wanted was just like a hoard of the gum. I wanted lots of it. So anytime I was like, okay, I got a pack of gum. And like, they would always say yes. And, you know, eventually I had like this nice, like big collection of just Wrigley Spearmint gum.
I think I remember this.
Yeah.
You had like a drawer of like oddities in your room, it seemed like. And then, oh no, grandma eventually gave you a box.
A
metal.
Just a metal box.
A metal box.
Every kid needs a good metal box. A
curiosity cabinet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lots of you can keep your gum in it.
In fact, said metal box, she gave me a metal box, and then she also gave me a bunch of stickers, which I proceeded to put all over the metal box.
I mean, and how could you not?
How could you not? This is basically what they're for. And then I left the box outside one day, and it was the same day that Dad was getting more sand delivered to the sandbox.
Oh, dear.
And the dump truck ran over my box.
Your metal box?
My metal box. And, like, I remember being like, this is an absolute bummer. And, like, I think, you know, Dad was like, oh, my, you know, like, I guess from our parents' perspective, like, yeah, he does use that box a lot. somewhere.
It does seem strange now looking back on it. Like, I feel like I would be so quickly dismissive, and I'm going to have to remember not to be with Addison. Yeah. Like it's just a box. It doesn't matter. You'll forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There are definitely those things. But then the next time we were at grandma's house, she had somehow found yet another black metal box and completely replaced it.
Completely replaced it
and gave me more stickers. So
it's like magic. Like magic.
So yeah, I had a second black metal box. I guess maybe but you remember me keeping the gum in there. But yeah, I can always get more gum. It's so easy to get mom and dad to buy this because it's so cheap. And this was like my big con as a child. Like, I'm so working the system, you know, like
someday I'll have unlimited.
I know, like it wasn't okay to like ask for like a candy bar. Cause like, that's like clearly a little more indulgent. That's like, you know, another 24 cents. It's never, they're not going to go for it, but gum, you don't even swallow it. It's a quarter. I can afford gum.
I got plenty.
And I have so much of it. And that was what was really, I think I like really enjoyed having the gum.
Like that is the, like, you didn't want to chew it. You just like, that
I mean, I did chew it as well. Okay. Not, you know, certainly not at a rate in which my overall gum numbers were going down.
Let's talk about other gum that you could own for all ulterior motives. There's always the fridge stripe.
Oh, I have a great one on this, but keep going. I have a great story about ulterior motive gum, Ben.
So Fruit Stripe, I think, had tattoos. The wrappers themselves.
Man, Fruit Stripe is the biggest con in the history of gum.
Is it?
Everyone knows it.
Everyone does know it.
Everyone knows it.
I thought I remembered it being quite delightful, but maybe I'm wrong. Is there a type of gum where you could eat the wrapper?
Oh my gosh.
Or was that like not even an old wives' tale, but like a lie someone in class told you that permeated everywhere?
This is like someone,
was Fruit Stripe.
Yeah. Fruit Stripe had the appeal of coming in a 15 pack, I believe. It was like a wombo. It was like
a 17 pack.
That was pretty good. It looked bigger. It had the bright colors on it. It had the zebra. And then the gum itself had like the wavy color lines on it.
Yes.
And they dictated the flavor, which was indeed good for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was. It's like what almost everybody in the world truly and honestly wanted was Fruit Stripe gum that never ended.
Yeah, yeah. That was that's the real thing. And the fact is, it was terrible. Okay. Because, it tasted good for the time period, but I think you ask anyone who remembers Fruit Stripe gum, and they will all tell you the same thing, that the flavor lasted, like, not that flavor lasts especially long in, like, any gum ever, but particularly Fruit Stripe.
Okay, let's pause there then, because this is a great question. What do you think is the intended length of time to chew a single piece of gum? Because, I think that for, like, in my high school days, I would put like a piece of gum in and probably I would have it in for at least a period of class, which was 47 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But usually by the end of that 47 minutes, the only reason I still had it in my mouth is because I wasn't allowed to get up and go to the trash can to spit it out.
Mm.
And I don't know. does an hour seem like too long? Like, because it seems like in some cases the gum has absolutely lost its flavor in like 12 minutes.
Man, this is a great question, and it's coming at a person who can't remember the last time he chewed a piece of gum. So, I like the fact that you chewed gum in classes. you know, wild to me. What a rule breaker.
I don't think.
Let me tell you something. I didn't chew gum in class because it wasn't allowed. Man, I don't know. I feel like I would have been like, gum lasts you all day. You know, it's just keep going.
Like a piece of gum.
Like the
one
point,
gum.
The flavor to me at some point, I'm sure I think I high minded like the flavor is hardly the point of gum. The point of gum is to be chewed at nauseam at length. Like that's the highest. So the high score. How long can I make? Look, I got this stick of gum for a nickel. Right. Some people are spitting out after 10 minutes. What not are me. They thinking?
Not me.
Not getting maximum value out of that gum. Okay.
I go all day.
I go all day on a stick of gum. You got that cup in there? How often do you refill that cup of gum in your cup holder? Like what? Once a month? Not me.
Should be once. How many 365 pieces? Once a year.
Once a year once on that a gum. Year. I take a piece of gum out. I start chewing it again the next day, man.
That was in a TV show, wasn't
it? I think it was. Someone been chewing the same piece of gum for like months or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I would have fallen on the side of longer. Although, gosh, I just don't chew gum very much at all these days. Maybe I should get into it. You know,
I know. I feel like this was like one of these like other like high school isms that was like I felt like I needed like minty fresh breath at all times.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember breath spray?
Oh. Like, oh yes.
Yeah.
It had a few years of glory back in like the year 2000.
I feel like it was expertly placed in like a handful of movies where it was like.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it was just like, ooh,
yes,
I should have some of spray. That. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's like a middle school to high school age shoot. And it was just like, at any point in time, I might be kissing somebody apparently, which was not that often at all. However, it was like, I felt like that was like why, like you had to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, just in case.
Yeah. I think breath spray felt like such a novelty to me as a kid. It was like, it was so fun to spray breath spray in
it,
your mouth.
It was.
You know what I mean?
It was really it was cool.
Like, I remember like anytime I managed to be in possession of some, same thing as the gum, I would be like, this is the best. The act of spraying into your mouth is so fun. Like, I got to make sure I get like one spray in a day because there's like, I love it so much, but if I do like three sprays a day, like that's going to like, I'm going to be done with this and I won't be able to have fun with this anymore.
Right.
You know,
I keep it with me at all times. It's on my person.
I have it
yeah.
in case I need it. But that's one of those things that like, I think in my mind it was like, it was really hard to get or something. That was in my perception. And like, there's no way, like my parents don't think that me, a 7-year-old has the needs for fresh
breath spray,
for ongoing breath spray. So like, yeah, having it usually meant that like I had come into possession of it through some sort of alternate means.
Right. Like you went on a field trip. There
yes.
There was a candy store.
Yes.
Mom gave you $10.
Yeah, right. Like, booyah. But I remember going to one of my friend's house once, and their parents clearly had a different take on the matter because, like, here I was, like, hoarding onto my lonely can of my lonely, you know, cylinder of breath spray for months at a time, maybe.
Naturally. I still have it.
And I remember my friend, he up above his bed, he had these little row of shelves, and in one shelf was, like, the. You know how like you might buy like if you're sitting at the checkout counter, there's like, you know, a box of the Kit Kats or something.
Yeah.
Right. So the breath spray came and there was like a styrofoam bedding in the box and had like a bunch of tiny holes and you'd like set them all up. Right. He had the whole box, Ben. He's like, I was like, this is unbelievable.
That is infinite.
I was like, this is infinite. Infinite. And it was like. In, you know, and he used it like he had an infinite supply because he did. And
man,
I was just
what
like,
a flex.
I know, I was like, it was to like, to yeah, to like sixth grade me. I was like, this is wow. I'm impressed.
Truly,
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
Something you got truly, going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. This is crazy. Okay. Yeah, I remember breath spray.
Okay.
I remember the candy breath spray too. It's yep. just like regular breath spray, only way better because it was candy. Yeah,
delicious.
Delicious, yeah.
There was I think these maybe are still around, but they were like Listerine, like tongue.
Oh, the strips.
Like dissolvable strips.
Yeah,
so you would have like a little.
Yeah.
I really loved the packaging for these too because they were like a little tiny like
fidget toy.
Plastic
yeah.
thing. Yeah. You better believe I worked that hinge to death. But goodness gracious, I absolutely loved those. I thought they were my favorite part about them was it was almost like introducing people. Like we were talking about like going to like a horror movie and stuff like that in today's episode. That like having one of these Listerine things was like sort of a very like intense mouth.
It was
experience, yeah. And so like people are like, oh, I've never tried one before. It's like, oh, you should.
Yeah, get ready.
Hang on. Click, 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 yeah. Click, click.
Boom.
Enjoy.
That, and that was it too. Yeah, because Listerine was like the brand. I still remember like the little green,
yeah,
translucent containers and the, yep, little clicky things. But eventually, like Wrigley's caught on and was like, we can just turn all of our gum flavors into this. Guess, yeah, what?
That's true.
So I remember that again. It was, I don't know, what is it about breath improving things that are so novel? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I remember, yeah, like this would be like
big money apparently.
The problem with this was like, unlike the gum or the breath spray, this would not be something I was capable of hoarding. Like if I had it, it'd be like, it was so fun to have one. I'll just have another one. It's like having food.
I'm doing it again.
It's
too.
Like eating but not eating. It's like, yeah, you're right. Cause it was such an experience to put it on your tongue. I'm like, ooh, like I'm just keep going.
Were they a single calorie?
It's like Tic Tacs.
Oh, Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs were like, oh,
great,
yeah.
Great packaging.
Great packaging. Yeah, it was like, these are also for your breath, but you know what? The chances of me having a container of Tic Tacs that made it from the grocery store parking lot to the inside of our house, zero. You know, like, all those Tic Tacs are gone.
Listerine has zero calories.
Zero calories?
No calories.
It's
at
a
all.
Perfect food.
It's you could eat them all day and literally have nothing happen.
Nothing. I mean,
except for fresh breath.
You might even lose weight on swallowing, okay?
It's quite the exercise.
Quite the exercise.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, was there something ulterior motive gums that you had something?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's end on that.
All right, we'll end on the ulterior motive gum. So my original ulterior motives when it came to gum were just collecting them.
Yeah.
Pretending as if I still needed some when I didn't, just to, you know, hoard more.
Right, right.
As one does.
Mom and Dad aren't even noticing.
They don't even know, yeah.
What are they out, like 375 right now? Wow.
So much gum. If I recall, you could also get 5 for a dollar, which was a real.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
They used, yeah,
that's
anyway.
How they get you.
That's how they get you. No, that's how you get them, man.
True.
Coming
true.
Back at
that's
them.
That's a good point.
That's less than a nickel a stick they're profiting.
I bet they're losing money on this.
Oh, man. So, are you familiar with the store Spencer's Gifts?
Yup.
Yeah. I've been to a mall once. I know. Everyone's been to a Spencer Gifts. So one of the best purchases I ever made at a Spencer Gifts was a shock pen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you remember these?
I do.
You'd like go to click it and it would shock you. Yeah, super fun. Super duper fun object to own, especially at school where people sometimes ask you to actually borrow pens.
It's
and
like,
boy, are they in for it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I got a guy in Latin class so bad one time. He was so mad. He was like, I can't feel my arm, Carl. And I was just like, because I just played with it in class all the time. I would just sit there and zap myself, yeah, like nonstop. Yep, yep. I just like held it up and was just like, and he was just like, it was like, yeah, what's your problem, dude? Shut up. I really did not like that person. And so it was like so fun that he got so bad.
Got.
Anyway, so
that's like a real, I don't think you've seen The Princess Bride, but that's like real Princess Bride energy.
Oh.
Where at one point in time, he's like in like a poison drinking contest where the poison's in one cup and it's like, is it your cup or my cup? And where would you have
I've
put
the
cup
this
of the poison?
Scene, yeah.
It's like you have done this exact thing in this situation, which is just grow acclimated to the poison.
It's exactly. It's
like I have no issues whatsoever either way.
No issues, dude. Like, yeah, like what you're complaining about, like, come on, like toughen up. Okay. Anyway, so in addition to selling shock pens, Spencer's Gifts also sold shock bubble gum.
Oh,
thing.
Dear.
Like, which is not to say like when you chewed the gum, it shocked you. That'd be that sounds wildly dangerous. Like instead, the pack of gum itself was the prank. So like someone would say, oh, you have a piece of gum and you just hold out the pack of gum to them and it would have like a little, you know, metal piece that looked like a foil piece of gum sticking out of it. And as they went to pull it, the act of pulling it would activate the shocker and they would get bzapped.
Bzapped.
Oh, man. Did I get some people with this one? And this one was worse than the pen. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, I'll tell you that for free. the gum shocked way worse than the pen. And oh man, it was like, I do remember, yeah, it was, there was like, because people ask for gum all the time. And I do remember a period in my life where like I, like in high school, at one point was like, whenever I'm at the convenience store, I will literally buy gum, not for me, just so that when people ask for gum, I'll have it. And that'll be like my distinguishing factor. People will know I have gum.
Guy's got gum.
Jonathan always has gum, but he's always so open with it. Like he could just chew it all himself, and yet he chooses to give it to me. I was like, little do you know, I didn't buy it for myself at all. Anyway, so I realized that the same would work if you had the fake gum, and boy were people unhappy with that, but it was hilarious.
That's amazing.
So that was my ulterior motive, shock gum.
Right, yeah, so you built up a brand as being the guy who has gum, and then
pulled the old switcheroo.
Psych!
Man, who would have known how many ways in which I thought gum might be a distinguishing thing across my life.
Apparently, it's been very impactful. The marketing is very successful. Anyway, guys, we're curious to know your stories about gum. Do you chew it to this day? Do you have a favorite flavor? What do you think of Fruit Stripe? Is it amazing or nah?
It's terrible.
Anyway, we want all your thoughts down below. But otherwise, until next time,
bye!
Hello and welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always, we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Thank you guys so very, very much for all of your continued support.
You could give yourself
After the Final Pop.
Self five.
Well done.
Boom.
Self five. You can give your, that was me giving myself a self five, but you could do it for yourself as well.
And it would even work.
And it would, unless you're bad at clapping, in which case, well... Probably been a long life.
Anyway, so in this week's episode of After the Final Pop, there's a question that I'm curious to ask you about, which is that when we were at RTX a couple weeks ago, we met a member of the SCB viewing audience.
That we did. We met a few of them.
We did indeed. It was very fun, very exciting. It was honestly incredibly heartwarming to see people IRL. That's like one of the cool parts about doing something that's otherwise so distance-based.
Yeah.
And we got the ability to do that. One of the people that we met was working on a project where they were folding 1,000 origami cranes.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that objective was they were having 1,000 different people write down a wish of theirs on a slip of paper that would then be like a part of the crane folding process. And I thought this was really just like clever and original and like neat. But the idea is that usually like you, if you fold 1,000 paper cranes, you will have a wish come true. And this person's thing was once all of their cranes were made, then all of the wishes written on those cranes would then come true for all the people.
That would be her wish, that all the wishes written would be.
Exactly. And I was like,
granted,
that is just amazing and awesome. And
yes.
Like the coolest way to wish for more wishes, because they are like, for others.
Others.
So just a really cool project. But I know that you and I both wrote down our respective wishes. And I know that you wrote a note in the show notes, which I did not realize in the moment, which was that you had no idea what to write
your wish. I know. I was just like, yeah, we were talking to this person and they, you know, were like, oh, so my idea is it just write down a wish and then, you know, I'll fold it on the paper. It was like suddenly I felt like so on the spot to like have a good wish prepared for the scenario whatever.
No, it's interesting because yeah, like when you're younger and you're like, oh, if I met the genie, you know, from like Aladdin and I had my three wishes, I would wish for, you know, riches or like that action figure I always wanted or
a car. Yeah. It's like very like material kind of things or something. And there's like this added layer to it that's like, I'm going to write it down and then hand it back to this person. And this person like is clearly a very big like fan of mine and enjoys what we make on Super Carlin Brothers and like respects me as a person, I think. So whatever I write down needs to not shatter all of that.
No pressure.
Don't want to ruin this moment for them by revealing some sort of deep-seated materialism or something.
Sure, sure, sure. I want a boat. really, really big one, too.
I know, So, like, I was, like, so struggling in the moment because it's, like, simultaneously, like, trying to write down something that's, like, like, you know me as an entertainer. So like, do I want my wish to be like sort of in that vein? Like, this is like, I wrote down something that will entertain you as you read it, which will be about 3 seconds from now.
Right. When I hand you back my
I hand it back for it. At which point, though, I'll have to be present for your entertainment. So I need it to be good. And if it's going to be entertaining, you're going to read it out loud. So it has to be good enough that everyone here is going to think it's entertaining or funny or something.
You had a lot of pressure put on yourself.
It was. And at the same time, it was like, it's also kind of like, but if I'm not going to go that route and I'm like trying to, if this seems like a more heartfelt situation, like then I need to write down like maybe a more like meaningful kind of wish. And then it's like, but then like, what if it's like embarrassingly like meaningful or like too sentimental? It's like suddenly like an extremely personal question of a sudden. I'm like, I don't feel like it has to be personal because clearly that's not the point of this. She's not trying to like trick me into like revealing a secret or something. So maybe I should just go down the funny route. But then that's like, I went through that cycle like 100 times in my brain, like, what am I gonna write down? And then I also could not think of an answer to either of them.
Oh my god.
I was like, not even like, well, I could write this funny thing, but is that like, you know, is that gonna work? Or I could write this like sentimental, like real wish sort of thing. And like I didn't have an answer in either direction. And I felt so stupid because you and Beth and Alice were all just like, yeah, here you go. And I was like, man, what'd you write? was it funny?
Can I copy your work?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It was surprisingly, and I was almost very happy because I was sitting there and I was like, what would be good? And I think I had something that felt like it was a proper fit. Can I tell you what my wish was?
For sure. Please do.
Have you been wanting to know this whole time?
No, I mean, I do want to know. Yes.
Okay. So I went with, to voice a Pixar character.
To voice a Pixar character. Yes. Yes. That's a good one. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's better. That's like, that's very on brand. It's realistic. It could be funny. That was a good one. That was right. That was exactly what I was searching for.
The sweet spot.
That was the sweet spot. You nailed it. 10 out of 10.
So I'm really curious if you went super like existential with it.
I ended up just going like, just like very, I felt like I just, at some point I was like, I got to get out of this situation. I can't think of a wish. I was just like, I wrote down just the most basic, boring thing. I was just like, I think I wrote down like health and security and was like, here you go.
Oh.
So that was my very just like, okay, there's my wish. You're right. You got it. Good. Cool. This is as safe as it gets. No one can interpret this poorly.
I just hope Venus gets to live the life it wants.
Yeah, I know. I should, like, I'm immediately, like, now that I've had some time, I feel like I should have just gone for the funny. Just been like, a boat or something. Yeah, so I didn't know what to write for the wish. But I feel like this happens to me all the time, where suddenly someone would just be like, yeah, like, what's your favorite song? And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so stumped. I have no idea. I've never even thought about music. What is my favorite song? Jeez. And then like, I won't have an answer. Like, I would just sort of spiral. Like, I feel like on the other hand though, like for certain questions like this that we've been hit with a bunch of times, like I've got like a ready to go answer that like I know is like if you ask me like, who's your favorite Harry Potter character, like I have a good answer for that, which is like as true as it is entertaining to be the answer.
And who is your answer?
Well, I normally go with either Hagrid or Dobby or Lupin.
Okay.
And
okay.
Those are all like, they're like, no one wants you to say like, no one wants you to say like Harry. You
know? My favorite character is the main character.
Yeah. No one wants you to say Harry. That's a bad answer.
But also probably true for most people.
But right. Yeah. But like, let me ask you something. Who died for everyone else and then came back and killed Voldemort? It was Harry.
Dobby.
Yeah. No, he just died, Ben.
I know.
He just died.
I'm still alive.
Which is why it's a great answer. Everyone loves Dobby, but he's like no one has forgotten Dobby, but he's like a minorly forgotten character.
Sure.
Oh, also, Lockhart's a great answer for this because no one thinks you're going to say Lockhart, but he's so stupid that he's like fun to hate, you know?
Oh, yeah. But not in the same way that Umbridge is.
Yeah.
Professor Umbridge is my favorite character.
Certainly definitely you can't say Umbridge is your favorite character. That's like she's like just so hated. How many villains? Like, you also probably couldn't say Voldemort's your favorite character.
No,
that would be no good. You might be able to get away with like a Lucius Malfoy as like your favorite because he's just like such a idiot.
Potter.
Yeah, it's like, dude, maybe you have better things to do with your time than like bully a 12-year-old. Right?
Maybe. Yeah. Just contemplate that for one hot second.
Think about.
So
that.
Anyway, but yeah. So the favorite song one. I remember when I was taking one of my college classes. I can't even remember what it was, maybe like leadership or something like that, but like one of the professors, like his big thing was that he required you to come to a 15-minute office hours visit, basically on the premise of like, he was like, I was teaching for years and I would get to the end of the year and students would not do well, and I would be like, well, why didn't you come to my office hours? And they were like, I don't know where your office is. And he was like, well, we gotta fix that. So like, like the first week, in the first week of classes, you had to make an appointment.
That's cool.
You had to go and talk with them, and you had to fill out like a note card about like certain aspects of like who you are, like what year you're in, what you're aspiring to be, like that type of stuff. And then his last question was always, what is your favorite song? And I remember thinking like, okay, this is like a college professor, and it's like I want to come across as like cool but smart and interesting but cultured, you know? Like, it was like, I was like, I like you're almost exactly like you were saying, where it was like the person who was asking you the question for your wish came with like all of these like aspects where it was like, I feel like my answer needs to be like correct for this person,
right? Like, you're not about to. You couldn't write down like, oops, I did it again or something.
Could you not?
Or maybe you could. Maybe you did.
Is that not cultured?
No, I mean, absolutely it would be.
It feels just like yogurt to me.
Just like yogurt?
Cultured.
Oh.
That's a bacteria joke. Not a very good one.
No, you know what? It had layers. It was a slow burn.
What we got there in the end. Anyway.
That was a bacteria joke.
I was trying to think of something because, like, you know, at the time, like, and this is I think part of what I've really been happy about, like going to like the When We Were Young festival and stuff like that in Las Vegas, is just simply that like a lot of the bands that I liked growing up, I felt like I was constantly being told like, well, this isn't like real music, or it's like super whiny, or like, you know, like whatever. It was like not taken seriously in the way that it, like, not even that I necessarily like wanted it to be. Like, as we've said on so many occasions, like, music has never really been like our like our forte, like where we excel or anything. Yeah. And I think like, so like just getting to see all those bands sort of like put on prominence and like people actually being like excited to like go and see them and like regard them as like to die for type of show. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that makes me feel like a lot better. But either way, when I was in college, that was not the case. It was like, I can't put like, you know, All the Small Things by Blink-182. That was probably more of like the thing that I would have to like rule out,
right,
as like an available answer. And so the one I ended up going with was like The Last Mango in Paris by Jimmy Buffett.
Wow. Okay. That is definitely a different kind of decision.
Yeah, it was like and I think even this is like where like I was like so unaware, and to this day I think I constantly am as well, but it's like I was like, I don't even know if I really know what would properly demonstrate my personality,
mm-hmm,
with only one piece of it,
right?
You know, because it's like, it could just as easily be a song by, you know, like Last Mango in Paris or something like that, like more off the beaten path, like not even like one of Jimmy Buffett's like most radio known songs,
right,
ever. You know, it's sort of like, okay, so like if you know who Jimmy Buffett is, then you might know this because you're like a fan.
You're like a layer deep.
You're a layer deep at least. Yeah. Like it's not like a totally off the beaten tracks, or a beaten path example, but you would need to know just a little bit to know. And otherwise I was like, well, I don't want to be like pigeonholed if you think that I'm like, you know, the moody teenager that I definitely am.
Right. Who's really into beach music.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, it's so strange because it's like, it's hard for, like, I feel like you're going to have one impression of me, and that impression is going to be based off of this song.
Yeah.
And
none of the other answers. Clearly this last question is where it's all coming from.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you're going to learn the most about me based on this.
Last Mango in Paris, that's a dangerous answer because it, like, Last Mango in Paris is very definitely a play on the phrase The Last Tango in Paris.
Okay.
Which then makes you possibly need to know the reference as well.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Which I wouldn't even necessarily say that, like, I know this reference.
Right.
Specifically, I just like The Last Man in Paris.
Right, yeah.
I just think it's a catchy song.
I agree. It's a good song. Yeah. No doubt.
So, what would you say? What would you
What would I say is my favorite song?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, right. This is the exact problem. It's like, this is what happens to me.
Appease everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that I'm trying to appease everyone. It's like, I don't really have a favorite song, I don't think. Okay. But this is what happens. I'll be like, I don't have a favorite song. And then I'll find myself needing to defend that position.
Sure.
That, like, it's too difficult to have a favorite song or changes or it depends on the mood. And then it answers and it's like, and then I don't have... and then the ultimate answer is that you end up just sort of explaining a bunch of blah that doesn't mean anything or reveal anything about you at all. And that's worse than having given an answer and, like, colored in some of your personality for the person.
Here's the thing. Like,
which is what I'm doing right now. Look, I still haven't answered.
You still haven't answered. But that's the thing. Is like, I don't really, like, I don't always know if it's possible, or I don't know, like even if this is going to be a bad example, but like, our trainer, Gabriel, for example, when he got married, he got a wedding band that has what's called knurling around the edges. Mm-hmm. And knurling is like the textured surface that they apply to weightlifting bars so that you can, like, apply grip. And it is like a kind of like a carved in diagonal repeating pattern that is just like it works, and it's not so sharp that, like, it cuts your hands, but, like, is enough, like, you're not gonna like it's not gonna, like, slip out of it.
Yeah.
So it, like, it provides, like, a lot of functions. And so, like, him getting that knurling wedding band as, like, our trainer and somebody who's, like, got, like, a, like, an absolute, like, affinity for, like, fitness and stuff like that, I'm like, gosh, what an absolutely perfect and representative thing for Gabriel to have. And yet I also feel like I was like, it's like, you might look at me and be like, well, Ben really likes fitness, and, like, this is, like, an aspect of his life, and so, like, maybe a knurling wedding band would be fitting for him. And I'm like, it's not, though. Like, look, I think it's perfect, like, for Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like yes, that fits him so well, that is, like, the exact right thing for him. But, like, when I think about it, like, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it's all relative perspective wise. Like, if I am, like, more into fitness than you are into fitness, then you might think, like, yeah, he's, like, a big fitness person. Like, it's a huge aspect of his personality. And, like, it is an aspect of my personality, but, like, not such that I'd be able to, like, represent something wholly in that same way.
Right.
And that's where it's like, I can't decide. Like, I couldn't, like, yeah, you're right. It's like, it's hard to pick, like, what's your favorite song?
I know. Okay. So this is a song that I've been listening to a bunch lately. It is Come With Me Now by Congos, I think, is the correct answer.
Come With Me Now.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I love that song. It's so awesome. But see, like, even that answer, like, I do love that song and I listen to it a lot. And, like, when I go on Spotify, sometimes I'll go to Come With Me Now Radio and I love all the music on there.
Okay.
And it's like, I really enjoy that one. It's got, like, rock accordion in it. It's, like, really quirky, got extra sound in there. But, like, if I were to tell you that, you might think that, oh, you're, like, a big fan of Congos or something.
Right.
And I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. Which is not to say, no, I'm not. I bet I would like their other music. But if you think I know anyone in the band's name or can name a single other song they've done, you'd be dead wrong about that.
Right.
So it's like, it feels like I'm stepping into a trap for a further conversation. Like, there's a risk that someone else knows this song, which probably they do because it's pretty popular. And once they do, they might have follow-up questions because they're the kind of person who cared about what my favorite song was, and they might be more educated about music and about to reveal that I don't know anything about music.
Right.
Other than, like, when this song is on, I feel pumped up and it's fun and cool, and that's what I like about it. But I don't know anything else about the band. It's just fun when this sound is happening around me.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, and that's like part of the issue. So another one of the things that Alice and I over the weekend were... I forget what we were doing that night. We may have been playing the newest Zelda game, and we had, like, gotten to a point in the night where we're like, well, we're not quite ready to go to bed, but we're maybe, like, done playing the game for the night and, like, want to, like, wind down. And Alice was like, I'm just going to find something random to watch on one of the streaming services. And what she came across, and I thought it was so ridiculously interesting, was, like, an Imagine Dragons live at concert, not live at concert, but, like, Imagine Dragons, like, at concert.
Yeah.
Like, documentary, uh-huh, if you will. And basically, like, it was like their Las Vegas performance of one of their tour shows.
Okay.
And like all the accompanying things. And Imagine Dragons is really interesting to me because typically I tend to like a lot of Imagine Dragons songs. And it was always like one of those things where I think at some point along the way, I was like, I actually downloaded an entire Imagine Dragons album and like listened to it start to finish. Like every single song
Boom.
On the album. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And then I started to realize that like Imagine Dragons like almost was like garnering this reputation as like the new Nickelback, where it was like all of their music kind of sounds like the same, or like maybe it's not like properly like experimental or like, you know, venturing. There's,
yeah, right. For some reason, it has this weird association with people like, oh, Imagine Dragons. Okay.
Right. But like it was really interesting to me to get like a glimpse into what these guys were like, because they were performing in Las Vegas and they're like a Las Vegas based band. So like they're like they attribute a huge amount of like their entire band culture to having been raised in Las Vegas specifically.
Okay.
And like showmanship and like sort of like the lights, the glitz, the glam, the fireworks, the, you know, like explosions, right. like all that type of stuff. So like their shows are like very theatrical, like right. over the top and everything. And like you get to know like the lead singer and it's just like, man, this guy's like really interesting, and like he's done like a whole bunch of like wild stuff, and he's just clearly like obsessed with music and very driven, and like his whole thing is that he like draws X's onto his hands before he gets on stage because he's like it's like straight edge or something, so like he doesn't like drink alcohol or do drugs or like any of those types of things. And it's just like, man, I'm learning so much about this band all of a sudden. I feel like I kind of like them,
right?
They're,
yeah,
like they're pretty cool. And like so then like the next day I'm like on Reddit, I'm like, why do people not like Imagine Dragons? And it was like, it was even funny because like nobody could ever really give an answer. Like there isn't, at least as far as I could tell, it was like they didn't seem to be like an obvious answer. It was just sort of people being,
but there were results out there. Like it's there, like there was like a known,
this is like a known opinion, and the closest thing was just largely that like people will choose something that is popular to not like, just hard stop.
That, yeah, basically.
And I think that like largely it's sort of like the final consensus is that it's like music that finds its way onto the radio. It's very overplayed, so like everybody's just heard it like a million times, and I feel like that's like the closest argument you can make is right. like it and Nickelback. Like, do you remember that like the photograph? Like,
yeah,
look at this photograph. Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. And it's just like it's like an earworm immediately. But yeah. the first time you heard it, it was catchy right away.
Yeah,
and I think that that's like what they're able to.
Yeah, there's a certain thing about like that. There's like a genre of music too. I think that, like that falls in that like punk rock pop category.
Yeah,
that these do where like part of the culture is that it's like alternate to popular music, uh-huh. but like inevitably there's a most popular version. There's of like a it. Most popular band out there, which makes its way to the mainstream. And like even though they were like the best at being alternative, which is what made them popular, now they have like become like an oxymoron or something, like a paradox of themselves.
This was so when we went to the festival last year, one of the bands that I ended up getting to see because Avril Lavigne didn't perform was All American Rejects.
Yeah.
And they were this band in like the late 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Like they had a whole bunch of songs.
Their name is so perfect for it.
I know.
They're like, yeah, we get it.
But like, you know, they were all up there. They were all dressed as Elvis, different Elvises. So like each person on stage, they were just so entertaining top to bottom, but they were also incredibly self-aware. They were like, you didn't like us when we were on the radio back in 2009, but you're here now and we love you for that. And it was just like, you know, I was like, it's so funny that they know that even amongst this group of bands, like where they are amongst like all of their peers, it's like they at one point in time had effectively risen to, you know, essentially the top of, right. of like broad spread like acceptance, you know, of their music for alternative music. And as a result, it was like we were almost too popular to be here, even though we were literally just doing what everybody else here was also attempting to do, probably on some level.
Right. That's the thing, is that the other bands are trying to do the same thing.
Like, right. Who is going to be like, no, I only want like the correct audience, not as many people as possible to enjoy my music.
Right.
Like that would feel like a strange take on the approach. But I guess now that I say it, it doesn't feel like it completely impossible that somebody would hold that perspective.
Guess so, that you're making your music maybe like for a specific audience, but typically you want as many people who want to enjoy it to be able to enjoy it.
Right.
You don't
want
to like gatekeep your own
stuff. Show. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, this is sort of like there's that scene in Name of the Wind where Kvothe goes up on stage and he like plays the simplest song in the world but makes it look impossible.
Yeah.
And all the musicians know.
Yeah.
And they're like you know, like what he's playing is incredibly simple. Like, it's like, this is not a challenging song. He's making it look hard, but it's not hard.
That's the joke.
And then, and then he flips it around and he plays the incredibly difficult song that only like a handful of musicians could play. And he makes it look like he's just like bored out of his mind. And they're like, how on earth is he pulling this off right now while looking so bored? Because this is like an incredibly difficult song to play.
Right.
And I feel like he even like, he says like, you know, the people that like cheered were like his people, the musicians or whatever. And it's like, I guess probably on some level quote would be like, I only want my audience.
Sure. Sure. Right.
So yeah, to use him as the broadspread example.
All right. Anyway, well, there you go. Go ahead.
Question of the day.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Yeah. Let us know. What's your favorite song? Need to say a lot about you.
We'll probably learn so much about you.
That's how we'll define you forever.
Right. Right. I wonder if like there will be a game where it's like, tell me one song, tell me your favorite song that would tell me nothing about you, and then three more songs that would clarify everything.
This is like, I think the second YouTube video I ever made, maybe on the John Kernlin channel, was about basically this exact like phenomenon though, where it was how you handle like being the passenger in a car and someone's like, here, you can choose the music, like pick whatever you want or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like they hand you the iPad and it's like, well, whatever I pick is going to say like a lot about me, even though every song on here clearly is chosen by the person driving.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know what to pick. So I'll just like, my answer to this was always to try and find like something funny to play.
Okay.
And then be like, oh yeah, this is, it's a laugh. It doesn't really say anything about me. I'm just trying to make you laugh. And that's what it says. Kind of thing.
That, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate humor.
Yeah.
You
right.
Appreciate humor.
Exactly. You have this song on here. So let's have a laugh, and you don't need to dive into my musical preferences at all.
I wonder if that means that you feel like your actual musical preferences could make you incredibly vulnerable.
Oh, for sure it does. Yeah. Which is to say, but also because like I feel like I just don't really have like a ton of musical preferences for the most part, or like there's just like, I don't know, for a long time like I still do. I love like Jimmy Buffett music and like beach music in general. That's a whole vibe I'm into. I will say, interestingly, so I was talking about Congos earlier. And one of the playlists I found for that was like awesome. Like I remember I was going through it. It's just like in the last month or something. I was like, I haven't heard some of these songs, but I love them all. They are so good. And one of the songs on there was Royals by Lord.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Exactly. Super duper popular song. But so I went through and the playlist was like disappointingly only like 8 songs long. So I finished it pretty quickly. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to choose a different song on here and go ahead and like, see if, you know, what Spotify comes up with for this song.
Sure.
In the same genre. And like on that same playlist was Royals again. And I was like, all right. And then like, it's been this funny thing where this song is the through line like in this weird, it's like I've discovered it.
Interesting. You
know, I'm like, I did not know this about this song, but this song is like the through line for this kind of music, which I guess is like 2010s alt rock. Basically, I'm discovering I'm into 2010 alt rock.
So yeah, it's like if all playlists are just like a gigantic web of like overlapping Venn diagrams, basically,
right,
where it's like technically if you like this band and this band and this band and this band and this band, then what you end up with is, you know, like, are these are all overlapping circles, but there has to be the one thing that's at the center.
There's like
of everything.
It's like the touchstone.
Yeah. And that must be Lord.
Is Royals by Lord.
Amazing.
But so eventually I looked up, I was like, well, let me go on to Lord Radio. And it was like, yep. Nope. Still good. Still liking good. All this stuff. Who would have thought?
Strangely, I actually have had this exact same phenomenon where after when we were young, I started listening to All American Rejects Radio on Spotify and found that it was the Blink-182 playlist on Spotify that I wanted.
Yeah.
But like the overlapping circles with Blink-182 would sometimes take me out of the water I wanted to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But All American Rejects would include all the Blink-182 things that I wanted and then just other stuff too.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like Blink-182 must share circles with stuff that might be like what I don't want.
Right.
But All American Rejects includes Blink-182, but not those things.
Right.
Like it's maybe I'm like more towards the center of like mainstream.
Yeah.
Less towards the peripherals of punk.
Nice.
But anyway, that would be my best interpretation of how that played out. Anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon. Until next time.
Bye.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hello and welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Thank you so much, as ever. It is truly deeply appreciated.
I thought you were going to go into that Savage Garden song, Truly, Madly, Deeply. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so.
Surely it's in there somewhere. Yeah. But anyway, thank you so much for your support over here.
Is that the right beat?
I don't think so. Maybe. Da,
bum, 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 bum. This is a different song altogether.
We are not good at music.
You want to be in a band?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know which song you're singing, though. Yeah. Okay, so Jay, this was kind of interesting. So we've done the segment a handful of times where we do like the random one word topic. And so, you know, sometimes you just try to like go up and like ask somebody in the office, or sometimes we'll ask our like significant others and we'll just be like, hey, like what's a good random word that we can talk about? And
yeah.
They'll be like, hey, bubblegum, and we'll talk about bubblegum.
Yeah.
Going into today's episode of The Pop, I saw that we had listed the like random one word topic. We didn't have a word next to it. So I was like, oh, I'll go to like ChatGPT and I'll see like if it can just give me like a random proper noun. And what was really interesting about it is I was like, all right, random proper noun and go. And the thing it spat back at me was Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, that's incredibly interesting, because I feel like that on numerous occasions recently, I have like expressed my interest in like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
You have, yes.
It is like one of these places that like, it's, I read a book called like What Doesn't Kill Us, and it's all about the like Wim Hof method of like existence, which is sort of like the whole like ice baths, you know, sort of, you know, like way of like almost like biohacking your brain or something like that. I don't know. But one of the things that they did as like their like graduation from like the Wim Hof school of toughness, I don't know, was hiking Kilimanjaro like shirtless or something, which, you know, in Africa, being shirtless probably doesn't seem that bad until you realize the top of the mountain is like snow-capped.
And super
it's
high.
Very, very cold and such.
Yeah.
And I think they did it in like 27 hours, or it was like a really fast, like up-down.
You know, up-down, up-down.
The whole thing. So anyway, Mount Kilimanjaro has been on my list, and I was like, that's so interesting, but it's also like, I feel like it's almost a bad version of this. Because
it's not that random.
It's not that random. Yeah. It's like that would me. That would just be like me being like, oh, let me just talk about something on my bucket list. And so I was like, I'll just try again. Like, you know, ChatGPT, we'll let that one go. The next one that pops up is Machu Picchu is also on my bucket list.
Why is it like, giving you these like high elevation places?
I have no idea. And that's the thing. Yeah. So Machu Picchu also
Machu Picchu. Yeah. It's like, that's such a fun one. I feel like to do, because it's so attainable, they just bring you to the top.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, like I mean, you can go and like literally, like, you know, you can have folks help you carry like whatever equipment you need up to the, you know, and have like the whole experience. If you've never seen pictures of Machu Picchu, it's absolutely beautiful. I believe it's in Peru.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been like one of those things that like for years and years, and it's not even like, you know, it's an extraordinary place to go, but it's also like one of those like I think somewhat common like kind of like a Groupon type of like the experience where you can do like an all-in-one, you know, like travel to Machu Picchu, airfare, hotels, and like excursions included.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's like one of those things. But anyway, so I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But again, you know, it's like this is something I probably like. It's just not that random to me. It's like it's kind of on my list. So then I asked it again for a third proper noun, and it gave me the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah,
and I was like, goodness gracious, that is also it's not on my bucket list still because I went there.
You went
and
there.
It was on my bucket list.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is up with the fact? Like, I was like, this is just like nailing. Like it's not random enough for me, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know how.
It's
like
surprising that it came. Yeah, it's like proper nouns. It could have just been like Jeff.
That's true. Yeah. Like it could have just named, or like, you know, George Washington.
Yeah,
you know, or
George Washington, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
How perfect.
Oh yeah, I got so much to say.
What a random topic.
His favorite beverage is tap water.
Let's see. I wonder if I do it, if it'll give me like something related to myself, and then it's like, wow, is it actually random, or is it
right? But I mean, and that's the thing in like today's world too. I feel like, you know, if you breathe about like a brand, you know, or pass a store that's like that has like Patagonia in the window or something, it feels like within 37 seconds you will start getting fed ads for Patagonia jackets.
Yeah,
you know, and it's sort of like, how did you know?
Okay, so you just said, can you
give me a random proper noun?
Okay. Can you give me a random proper noun?
What do you get?
Let's see. Sapphire Falls is a random proper noun. I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it either.
Wow.
It sounds like somewhere you could visit inside of like a Pokemon video game. It's like, head on down to Sapphire Falls and see if you can figure out the weird thing that's happening.
It does sound like a Pokemon location.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sapphire Falls. That's exactly what it sounds like. I imagine this is actually some sort of waterfall and not some sort of place where it's like raining rocks on you or something.
I suspect that that's likely the case. Yeah, I agree. But no,
let's look up Sapphire Falls. Now I'm interested.
I think Articuno is hiding behind the falls themselves.
Down in the Seafoam Islands.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Let's see. So, Sapphire Falls.
Where is it? Where in the world is Sapphire Falls?
Don't allow. Let's see. Sapphire Falls Resort. Universal Orlando. Is it just a resort?
Is it?
It says Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort at Universal Orlando, an island escape. Well, well, well. Maybe it's just, but it's not. I don't think it's like a Disney thing. This is definitely the thing that's coming up the most.
If it's Universal, it's
Sapphire Falls Resort. It's Universal's Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort. What? It's not like a place?
That seems so much like a bummer.
I mean,
like,
it is a place, but it's like, it's not like an epic waterfall. It's just some resort. I'm so disappointed by this. Boy, also, this is not for nothing, but we are like DVC members, so... Like, the odds of me staying in Orlando, Florida at a resort that doesn't fall under the DVC banner is zero.
Yeah, so, right.
Lest Universal flies us out and keeps us at this place that, like, what a place I'm just not going to visit.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Unfortunately. Which is probably, I'm sure somebody listening before is like, dude, I've stayed at Sapphire Falls before. That place is amazing.
I mean, it looks like it'd be a nice enough place to stay, but it doesn't look like what I was imagining was a place... in a secluded jungle that was this really cool waterfall where the water is as blue as if you went to like a tropical island, but you're in the middle of a jungle and you're like, wow, how is it so blue in the middle of the jungle? It's like sapphires. That's what I was imagining.
Yeah, no, that or some version of like, I know when I was in New Zealand, like a lot of the water like literally comes across as this like crystalline blue color.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like extremely gorgeous, but it's not, it's like more like in mountainous regions. And I think it's because of like glacial melt or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like I could almost even imagine a world where it's like a tropical location that happens to have like a snow-capped mountain up above it, and the snow melt that comes down is this particular like kind of like extremely like, it's like despite the fact you're in like a blistering hot jungle,
right.
it's like ice cold water.
It's
you
like,
know,
wow, how refreshing and beautiful.
Yes.
Is
exactly.
That a tiger?
Is that a tiger? It could be.
Yeah,
could
maybe.
Be.
Yeah, middle of a jungle.
Where is Jumanji supposed to be? Speaking of,
welcome to Jumanji,
man. If there is a better bit than the NPC at the beginning of the live action Jumanji movie, I can't name it.
You're asking where was Jumanji shot, or where is it supposed to be?
No. So like when he goes, when the Robin Williams as a young lad goes into the board game of Jumanji, where he then survives for essentially a lifetime inside of a jungle, so that he can return as a full grown Robin Williams, you know, in the present. It seems like the kinds of dangers that he was like constantly like on the lookout for, it's like, would all of those same dangers exist inside of the same jungle?
Like kind of place? Because I think the jungle he's trapped in is a fictional jungle.
It's a fictional jungle.
Altogether.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's not like trapped in, like it's not like he just got sent to some other like real, you know, now that I say that out loud, I feel like I both simultaneously knew that he wasn't just like trapped inside of a jungle here on planet Earth.
Yeah, but, it's like, not like he's just in the Amazon.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I would have thought. Yeah, it's like, is he in the Amazon, or is he like in Africa somewhere?
No,
like,
he's in the fictional jungle of the game for sure. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not like, oh, there's, you know, look out for, you know, like if you roll the rhino thing, it's not like all of a sudden there's a stampede of rhinos that was in Africa and it's like, whoop, now they're here.
You know, my favorite part about Jumanji, especially the sequel of it, is that they went from a movie that like as a child basically terrified me.
I mean, there's some scary effects in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not, you know, like I think when the floor becomes like quicksand and he like kind of like melds into it and they have to roll the dice again and then it becomes like solid hardwood floors all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's just like, gosh, the thought of being like trapped inside of like a physical floor space, like to where only your face is sticking out, like it just seems like the absolute worst thing that could ever happen. And then when they remade it, I was kind of like a little hesitant to go see it because I was like, I don't want to be scared again, even though now I'm like a, you know, like 31-year-old adult. You know, still I think that I had this like concern, but then it ended up just being absolutely hilarious and like a true delight of a movie. So if you haven't seen Jumanji, go and check it out.
Go do it. I just looked up the rhyme or the Jumanji quicksand thing. It doesn't even seem like a, I feel like it's like, is it worded poorly? It says, you better beware of the ground. Just watch for which sand where you stand on. The floor is quicker than the quicksand. That doesn't sound like a rhyme at all.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't sound. I mean, it sounds familiar to me, though, which kind of surprises me.
I know. You better beware of the ground. Just watch for which sand. Watch for which sand? I don't know.
For which sand you stand on?
For which sand where you stand on, the floor is quicker than the quicksand. So it sounds like quicksand should rhyme with stand, but there's a comma after on. So I don't know.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, then he gets trapped in the floor, and then the spiders come.
The spiders, yes.
And he's
Yeah. Okay,
not helping.
Just a little piece of comic relief there. That's not the worst. Yeah. But yeah, no, that movie as a kid just absolutely plum scare, like terrified me.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know how we got there in the first place. Anyway, the
Sapphire Falls.
So the last word, because I literally was going through this like ChatGPT experiment, and I was like, okay, so literally what you're doing is just naming things on my bucket list presently, ChatGPT AI. Yeah. So then I just asked it for a random word and got serendipity.
Which... do you think it misunderstood you and gave you a word that means random?
That was literally my question. And I was like, I'm like, am I just doing this wrong? Like, I'm breaking the artificial intelligence right now. It's just like, what do you want from me, Ben?
Come on.
Oh, man.
I've tried to get it to like unscramble words before. Like, can you make a sentence out of this? And it'll be like, sure. And then it'll just use all the letters in the thing, but it'll use them as many times as it wants. And I'm like, no. You can only use each letter once. And like, no matter how I phrase it, it'll be like, you wanted a paragraph using just these letters? I'm like, no.
Right.
Or a lot of times I'll try and get it to draw Voldemort for various thumbnail reasons or something like that.
Yeah, for something to do with Supercarlin Brothers.
No matter what I tell it, it cannot help but giving Voldemort a nose. And it's so annoying. It's like, I will put like Voldemort without a nose standing in a kitchen. He has no nose. Voldemort has no nose. No nostrils. And then it'll be like, big nose. And it'll be like, no. Just, I can't, like, I don't know how else you want me to phrase it. No nose. Nothing.
Maybe the problem is that you're doubling and tripling down on it so much, and all it's really taking away from it is just nose.
That's exactly nose. I know. It's like, so
what's actually happening is you're trying to get it to not do something specific, and what it's interpreting is the exact opposite.
I know. It's so annoying. And then I'll have to go in and like Photoshop it afterward and give him the snake slits or whatever, which, you know, they still come out pretty good. So
they do come out pretty good.
They're pretty funny.
In our latest video, we had like Voldemort as a train.
That was annoying too, because when we were doing the step competition, when we were doing like the walk to Hogwarts or whatever,
Miles managed.
Yeah. There was one of the stopping points. We wanted to have a dragon in the air above a train. And so, you put in that prompt, like a large dragon flying in the air above a train. And it was like, I couldn't phrase it in such a way where ChatGPT didn't think, or where Midjourney didn't think I meant you want a dragon shaped train. The dragon and the train are one. Train that looks like a dragon.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, it was like, no, I want a dragon flying in the air above a train. And it's like, why do you keep turning the train into the dragon? It was so frustrating. And then I was like, oh, look at this. Now I need it to morph two things into a train. And I bet it's going to be really annoying about this too. And fortunately, it gave me some good options. But
okay, yeah. I was going to say.
But like, Voldemort still had a nose.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah. I was like, you should have just used the exact same trick against it. But this is probably one of those things, while it's as impressive or scary as AI can be at times, where it's like, wow, how does it pull this off? It also feels like it's still like an infant in other ways, where it's like, no, you don't understand what I'm asking of you.
Listen to the words that I'm saying.
Right. It's like, don't you understand? And it's like, the answer is that no, it sort of understands.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
It's like an extremely talented toddler who can understand like 50% of what you're saying. It's like, it's impressive. Like if I came home and Luke had drawn anything that to like the caliber that like, you know, ChatGPT did, it would be like, wow, it's really impressive that you drew that dragon shaped train. It's not at all what I asked for.
Right.
Son.
It does feel a little bit like talking to a toddler. It's like, can you draw a whale and like draw like a really good wall? And you're like, well, I can see where you got confused because whale and wall are not words that you probably use all that often so far in life. And they do sound somewhat similar, but they're distinctly different.
Distinctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, it's a really beautiful picture of a wall.
Great picture of a wall. Basically a rectangle.
Like, I don't know how you did it, but like top shelf wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Top shelf.
Top shelf.
Yeah. Not a wall with a shelf on it. Come on.
You know, top shelf is one of those words that I was watching Welcome to Wrexham yesterday, and they referred to something as top drawer. And I literally was like, I feel like I say top shelf a lot. And now I don't know whether or not it was supposed to be top drawer.
Top drawer.
But then like the person was also British, and I was like, well, maybe this is like one of those phrases like where it's like, you know, like there's reasons for both of it. But then like top shelf, I feel like also refers to like, you know, if you were at a bar, like top shelf, like drinks or spirits are usually the ones that are like the, like, you know, normally if you order like depending on the establishment, they will have like basic mixing liquors that are not extremely high end. You know, that they might make in your like vodka cranberry beverage or something, unless you specify that you want like, I can't even think of a high brand vodka.
Tito's.
Sure. Yeah. Unless you specify Tito's, they're not going to give you Tito's. I don't think Tito's is a high shelf.
Grey Goose.
Great. Oh, there you go. There you go. That, he nailed it.
Thank you.
That's it. That's the one I was looking for.
Yeah.
My depth.
99 bananas.
Oh no, you went in the wrong direction. just plumb the wrong way. Banana the wrong way, rather.
Banana the wrong way.
99 plums.
99 plums. Boy, that sounds like a weird liquor. That sounds like sake or something, like really cheap sake.
Oh yeah. Maybe
right.
So,
isn't that plum?
I thought sake was like rice
wine. You're right. Yeah. Why am I associating plums and sake?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like they can. I feel like as humans, we've been able to alcoholify just about all anything that has natural sugars.
Yeah, basically.
So certainly that there is a beverage that comes from plums in particular.
Yeah.
Is vodka potatoes?
Yeah.
That seems so odd to me.
Yeah.
Those things feel like on polar ends of the spectrum. Like I think of like vodka as like having this sort of like, I don't know, like very clean, you know, like almost like for some reason, like upscale association with it. I don't know why, but then like potatoes feel like so like earthy and ground. And,
right. So
and,
common.
Yeah. Common. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, it feels
you're
like
mixing this dirty,
but like warm, you know, like vodka feels like cold or sterile or something. And then like potatoes feel like the opposite of that, like wholesome and hearty.
Right. You dug up this edible rock and you turned it into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of people handing out potatoes at Halloween?
Only just in the last week.
I think you brought it up.
Okay. Yeah.
So somebody, I've heard multiple people bring it up, and this was like one of those things where I was like, it's sort of like you hearing about TikTok. We talked about in today's main episode where it's like, is this like one of those like fads that's rolling through where somebody somewhere along the way was like, I'm going to hand out like candy or a potato. And like, you know, as a young kid, there's something about the fact that potato was like quite large and heavy and like, you know, it's like, oh, that's different, you know, like, and as such, there's like an appeal to it, but I wonder an appeal because potatoes have appeals. Hilarious. But like, I almost wonder if this is the kind of thing where it's like, it can only work for as long as people have never heard of it, because like you need to have the authentic experience of being like potato. Like, all
right. Right. Yeah. If it's like you come back in 2024 and all of a sudden like every other house just also has a bucket of potatoes, it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. Yeah, like you did the thing. Give me the candy.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly it. That's the other one too with the candy shoot that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
There's sort of like a weird one. And I've had such mixed results with handing out candy for trick-or-treaters where like I never know exactly what is the right amount ish to buy in terms of candy. Mm. And so I've had years where I've like run out and had to like shut my door and like turn off the lights, at which point kids still came up and knocked on the door.
You gotta put a sign out there, man.
Like, okay. Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I hadn't read the sign memo. Do you have a sign ready? Like
I'm not ready, but like there, like the signal should be whether or not you have the light on or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should tell kids, but kids don't know. I mean, yeah, we ran out at some point and we had to like, we shut the door and turn the lights off and everything. And sure enough, 10 minutes later, we got all the ding dongs and it was like, okay, not dealing with this sign.
Yeah. We started giving out Uncrustables that particular year because we had them in the freezer.
Nice.
We were just like, surely we have something we can give you. And I was like, here's a sandwich.
Yeah.
But it's still frozen. Enjoy.
Enjoy. It'll be nice and warm by the time you get back to your house.
Usually ready in 5 minutes. It's like the most glorious thing about it.
I know. How do they thaw so fast?
I have no idea, but it's
only
impressive.
One side of them. It's like the other side. Like one side's nice and soft and the other side's like, why is this one kind of like rough?
I sort of like, yeah, that's true. You are right. Yeah. I kind of like when the peanut butter is still like popsicle-ified.
No, not me.
Yeah, no?
No.
Not into it?
Nope.
Well, I like it personally.
You're wrong.
Thanks. What was I talking about? Something with candy. Anyway, I don't know.
The shoots.
The shoots. Yeah. Like, I wonder if the shoot is like, one, oh, because kids come up and sometimes like they'll take like a fistful and I'm never really like such a stooge that like I actually have an issue with it. My only concern is that I'm going to run out and not have candy for other kids and then feel like a stooge for not having candy. So it's like, I'm not upset with you for taking more than one piece. Like, I don't blame you at all. It's candy. It's fun. It's trick or treating. Like, you know, you enjoy. The problem is like the other end, like when I run out and then I have to just have some kids have no candy.
Yeah.
And so what I like about the chute though is that it gives you the ability to basically be like, you know, hold your bucket out and you drop it through the chute and like then they get one piece.
Then they get one piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was the chute like a COVID solution?
I believe it was.
And now it's just like, actually, this is just better all around.
But I think some stuff like that happened though, like through the pandemic, where it's like we kind of like learned like new ways of doing things. And it was sort of like, oh, now that we're on the other side, it's like, you know, like companies like DoorDash, for example, I feel like absolutely exploded during the pandemic because it was like, I still want to support like my local restaurants. I still would like to eat something, you know, from my favorite restaurants, but you know, like we can't go or they're not open or whatever.
Would you have some tricks you'd throw down the chute?
Oh, like every once in a while.
Once in a while, I'd be like, "There's a tennis ball,
like a live hamster." Enjoy.
Whoops.
Yeah, here's some bedding to go
now
with.
Now you own a pet. This was a bagged fish.
a bagged fish. That's like the fair, you know, like the whole thing. Like, you know, you go and like throw the ring, and then. Yeah, that you want to know who that gag works out the best for is the pet store, because then everybody's parent shows up at the pet store and they're like, "Do you have like a 1 gallon fishbowl that I can buy?"
Sure do, losers.
Yeah.
Thought you won, didn't you?
12th person today.
Yep.
By the way, if you ever get one of those free goldfish, just for what it's worth, they cost the pet store like approximately like 3 cents.
Yeah.
So it is like if you've paid $1 to win one goldfish and you're like, wow, I just came out on top. I just spent $1. It cost them 3 cents. That is the associated markup.
There is no way to basically come out on top on those like carnival games.
No.
Like even if you are an expert and get it in one, it's like, But
then you just get whatever they give you. And the thing was, is that when I was a kid, there was nothing I coveted more than one of the giant stuffed animals.
Yes.
Like I wanted one of them so badly. And then I feel like I would go to amusement parks. I would see people walking around with it. I'm like, mom and dad, like, look, see, like they won one. And mom and dad's response was always, they pay people to walk around with them so that you believe you can win one.
Yeah.
And it's like, to this day, I have no idea whether or not that's true.
No, that's true.
That's true. That's that a real is a thing. Thing. Yeah. Okay. So they're
that
like,
that is part of it. Yeah.
It's like you see them out in the wild and you're like, oh man.
There is a fantastic Mark Rober video about exactly all of the like psychology and rip-offedness of carnival games.
Man.
Well, yeah.
You know,
which is like, it's like one of those things where like, like to me, there's like a certain amount of like, and then you like walk past and you can feel like all superior, like I know better than this. But then there's also like the fact that you're being taken advantage of doesn't mean the games themselves aren't fun that, sometimes.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Like I think that there's still like a little bit of a thrill to going and like even just like the rare occasions in life where it's like demonstrate an ability like, you know, inside of like a game sequence and win a prize. Like, this is not something you like really encounter. I mean, people go in like hordes to play trivia at like, you know, the local breweries and stuff where the prizes are like a $15 gift card.
Right.
And I'm like, there's 100 people here tonight all buying beer and the prize that they're giving you is a $15 gift card.
Right.
Like
you spend $30 just being here.
Exactly. Yeah. All 100 of you have spent $30 on your drinks and stuff. It's sort of like it's always funny to me because I'm like, you know, this is a really what feels like potentially on the small side prize for the amount of gathering that has just come together.
The real prize was the game you played along the way, though.
Yeah, that is actually, I think in this particular case, that's exactly it.
Yeah, it's like people just want to be able to go out and have fun at a crowded bar and play a game.
A central activity. This was something that I used to throw parties all the time, and I feel like for a long time, my goal was to get as many people there as humanly possible. And it was sort of like, that's the sign of a good party. Like, put a bunch of people in the same house doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But what I feel like I ultimately realized is that what people really want when they go to the party is something to do. And so it's like, when it's like, it's almost just like way better to have like a smaller group of people and just have like an actual activity that you can engage in.
Because, like game night.
Like game night.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've been trying to invite you over to game nights for years now. Jeez, man.
Man, you just named the time and place.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good deal.
Ben's like 1500 hours.
Yeah. I'll clear with Beth. Yeah. 7 hours from now. Yeah. IRL discussion with her and I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Hold on. For game night, I can just, I'm sure I have full authority to just agree.
To speak on Beth's behalf. She's in.
She's in. We like game night.
There you go. All right, guys. Thank you so much as always for your support over here on Patreon. Until next time.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's us again from the past or future or something. Time is always so wimbly wombly when
sure
it comes
is.
To recording schedules versus release schedules and all the rest. But there you go, guys. That was 3 episodes of After the Final Pop. Can you believe we had so much to say about gum?
Oh my gosh, the bubble gum one is one of my favorite ones we've ever done.
We were just geeking. Oh my god, it was like one of my like favorite days of like popcorn culture history ever. And I remember, I think that we had just published the week prior an episode of After the Final Pop as like a fun like, hey, here's like, you know, if you want like a sampling of like what this show is like. Here's one of them. And then the very next week we recorded basically my favorite one we ever had. And I was just sort of like, well, we can't do it 2 weeks in a row.
Man.
So if anything, I'm mildly glad that the gum episode finally gets to see the light of day.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. So anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback for us, even if it's on the After the Final Pops you just listened to, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money.